Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless. This message today is geared towards the dads. But I also want to say that everyone is going to be a receiver today. Everyone is going to be a receiver. And so just before we jump into the message, I want to say a huge shout out to everyone who came along to Heart and Soul on Wednesday evening. It was a fantastic turnout. I think over 400 people connected through YouTube and Facebook and Zoom. And it was just an awesome night. But if you missed it, Chantel and I really shared from our hearts about our commitment to the church. And we would love you to catch up on that. So please connect in on YouTube, watch it back, and I think you'll be really blessed by some of the things which our team and we were able to share with that as well. Okay, I think as a dad, there's a common desire in us all to feel like we're successful. I feel like men love to enjoy and achieve success. And how we measure that success is often based on other people's ideas and opinions and standards rather than maybe a godly standard. And success by maybe the world's standard is often by luxury or wealth or possessions or achievements, maybe fame or beauty. And I don't think God isn't worried about us having those things. He just doesn't want those things, dads, to have us. And we feel, don't we, dads, that we are successful if we live in a certain postcode or drive a certain car, wear a certain watch, own a certain phone. You know, a while ago, I dropped my phone. Isn't that just the worst thing? My Apple smartphone, I dropped my phone. And you drop it, and then there's this moment where you have to bend over and pick it up and look at it. And you're looking at what has gone, and I picked it up, and it was the worst. It was the shattered screen. And so I went to my phone supplier, and they were so graceful, they gave me a little phone. It wasn't a smartphone. And over the next few days, I had it out, and I had it around work, and people actually said, are you okay? Are you going to be all right? Are you struggling with that? Because success is based on even our phone, on the type of label we have on our shirt. And we are judged successful or not by the brand of phone we have or the car we have. I think the world's actually gone bonkers. Because our world's model of success is actually unsustainable. Can easily be brought down, as we've seen even with COVID-19 over the last few weeks. And if we measure, dads, our lives by the world's standards, what other people think of us, we'll feel incomplete. It'll feel inaccurate, whether we're successful or not. Here's the good news. God's definition of success is completely different to the world's definition of success. YouTube and books and podcasts are full of how to succeed and how to become successful, how to become famous, how to become an influencer. I think all those things are really good, but I'm all about them, but we can spend our whole lives searching for success when the Word of God gives us clear principles how to succeed as dads. God's formula for success is completely different to the world's formula. Here's the good news. His formula works for every person. Every culture, every creed, every situation, every marriage, every family. God's word does not prejudice against anyone. And the formula we're going to look at today is found from the life of Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite Bible characters. Some context to Joshua. Moses, his fearless leader, had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. But they'd been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. They're trying to reach the promised land. And Moses is about 120 years old, and he's about to die, and he pulls Joshua in for a takeover meeting. He says, Joshua, here, I want to hand you the baton, and I want you to be the person to do what I was unable to do, which is to lead our people through to the promised land. And he's instructed to lead 2 million people through a desert to safety. Who would agree that Joshua had his work cut out? Moses had failed. The people were grumbling, complaining. In fact, the people even said, we'll go back to Egypt. We'll make bricks again. We'll go back into slavery. And if anyone needed to succeed, Joshua did. And God speaks to Joshua. He says this in chapter 1, verse 7, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous," here we go, "and you will have good success." I want to talk today, dads, and the subject title is, "You will have good success." You will have good success. You say, "Well, I haven't been a success up until this point." Hey, today is a new day. It's time to write a new chapter. God's call for your life, dads, is to be a success. Maybe a teacher said that you wouldn't be a success. Maybe a former employer said you wouldn't make a success out of your life. The good news today is God promises that we can have good success. In fact, the whole Bible is packed full of promises for your life. But the word "good success" can only be found in this one verse in the whole of Scripture. God's principles are true. They're eternal. And just as their good success was a principle for Joshua, it's a principle for you, dads. Here's the deal. If there can be good success, there can be bad success. Bad success is the kind of success which takes you away from your family, from your church, from your loved ones. It's the kind of success that destroys relationships and friendships. I'm sure we all know someone. Maybe we've even experienced it on ourselves. We've had a dose of bad success. You know, you can be a public success and a private failure. And with good success, we see blessing in every area of our lives, whether that's our marriages, our families, our finances, our health, our businesses. God wants you to succeed. You know, until you believe that, it's very hard for you to succeed God's way. Why don't you turn to the cat right now and say, "God wants you to succeed." I want to share three foundational principles, dads, which Joshua applied to his life so that he would have good success. Three foundational principles, and they all come out of the Word of God from the book of Joshua. Number one, success begins in God's presence. Success begins in His presence. The Bible says the book of the law, talking about the Word of God. Hello, they bought me a plant since I've been away. Thank you. Appreciate that. Isn't that lovely? Welcome home gift. One of my favorites there. Don't know what it is, but it's an absolute gem. Success begins in God's presence. This book of the law shall not depart. Shall not depart. You know, our tendency, dads, is that success begins with the to-do list. It begins by painting the fence, begins by cleaning the car, begins by the first person in the office, paying down the mortgage. And we judge success on all those things. And so many of those things are good. But there is no substitute for the presence of God when it comes to being successful in your life. No podcast, no success manual, no DIY course, no subscription comes close to dad spending time in God's presence. You know, for our marriage to be successful, my wife Chantel, there she is, 2 meters. We've been keeping the 2 meter rule. She's been loving it. She's like, we need to shield a little bit longer. But for our marriage to be a success, here's the deal. I've got to spend time in Chantel's presence. WhatsApp cannot replace relationship. Instagram, Zoom. Anyone else zoomed out? I want just to zoom off. There is nothing like getting to know my wife by being in her presence. You cannot know God from a distance. You cannot just do WhatsApp with God. And I found that my most successful, prosperous days, they don't begin on Instagram. They don't begin on a Twitter. They begin in the presence of God. Dad, if you want success in your life, it begins in His presence. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." Let me tell you, in the beginning of your day, spend it with God. When we spend time meditating in the Word, we're spending time with Jesus. You know, the Hebrew word here, meditate, is the word called Hagar, which means to utter or to speak out. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Very good. Meditate on it day and night. You know, it's interesting. God did not tell Joshua to keep the the word in his mind. He told him to keep it on his lips. The first principle to success, Dad, is to enter his presence and start confessing the promises of God over your life, over your marriage, over your children. In all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loves us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It's not enough just to regurgitate scripture in your mind. You've got to speak it out. I cast my cares on you because you care for me. Dads, confess this one. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or my children begging for bread. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. You know, four things take place. Let me just quickly jot these down. Four things take place when we spend time in his presence, Dad. Number one, grace is revealed. Grace is revealed. You obtain a fresh revelation of God's love and his grace towards you. You know, every time I spend time with Chantel, I realize how much she loves me. But it's not until I spend time in her presence I realize how much she loves me and how much I love her. When you spend time with Jesus, you see, you become Jesus-focused, not self-focused. The enemy wants to get us focused on our mistakes and our shortcomings. That's why COVID has been such a dangerous thing, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally, because we've had too much time to meditate on what happened in 1993. And the enemy wants to regurgitate all the past and the sin and the mistakes. But when we spend time in his presence, Dads, guess what happens? We reveal Jesus. Grace is revealed. And the second thing that happens in his presence is faith is renewed. You're filled with renewed faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the BBC. No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. You're listening to God's voice by speaking to his words. Faith is renewed. The third thing is wisdom is received. Grace is revealed, faith is renewed, and wisdom is received. God gives us wisdom. You know, we need wisdom right now. Chantel and I and the staff and the team and the eldership and the board and whoever else tries to help me, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. What happens is, as we spend time in God's presence, our situation might not immediately change, but we change. Because God drops thoughts and strategies and ideas and ways to do things and get around things. Grace is revealed, faith is renewed, wisdom is received, and number four, strength is restored. When we meditate on Jesus, he gives us the strength to accomplish everything we need to each day. And dads, I know we have so much we've got to get to. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. What is joy? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. To be successful in your day, you need strength. It's in the presence of the Lord that he makes us a good success. Number two, success number one begins in his presence. Number two, success begins with obedience. I don't know about you, but if I was 80 years old and someone came to me and said, hey, by the way, I've got a new challenge for you, John. By the way, by 80, Soul Church will be in the safe hands of some youngster. Okay, and we will have our feet up on a beach drinking appetizers. But 80 years old, Moses comes to Joshua and says, now, I kind of messed this thing up. I need you to now take the children of Israel, all 2 million of them, into the promised land. I'd be like, hey, you need to talk to Sam Milcham. He runs some of the youth and the young adult stuff. You go, he'll sort you out, a great leader. No. The Israelites had circled for 40 years, going round in circles. Do you know it was only a 12-day walk? Straight line. Straight line. I mean, they needed a sat-nav. They'd walked 400 miles because they were disobedient. They'd worshipped foreign gods. They'd rebelled under Moses' leadership. They disobeyed God. and they'd basically been walking around in circles for 40 years. I don't know, has anyone ever been on an airplane? You're coming in, you think you're coming in to land, and then the pilot comes on and you just see circles on the screen. It's like 5:30 a.m. in the morning. The last thing you want to be doing is donuts around Heathrow. I don't like that. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. They were doing donuts for 40 years. So many times our lives are like that, dads. We so badly want to be there, but we're here. We want to get out of debt. We want to break free of that destructive habit. We want to, but life just seems to do this and we can't break free. And it's simply one word, obedience. Obedience. The children of Israel were in a holding pattern. You know, dads, men, everyone. How many times do our lives go in holding patterns? We're like, another year. I don't know about you, but the last 3 months have felt like Groundhog Day. Yeah. I felt like 2020 is literally in a holding pattern. Yeah. You know, a big night out now at the Normans is we go to the kitchen. You know, we might drop in at the hall on the way through and we swap our day pajamas for our night pajamas. And it reminds me of the children of Israel. They did lockdown for 40 years. Yeah. They didn't have Instagram either. Because they never understood the principle of obedience. We don't like the word obedience. I don't really like it. Probably because of a childhood experience or when we were disobedient and we won't go there. Even though my parents have, you know, very little stories of those kind of things of me because I was the obedient child. My sister struggled in that area. But here's what I realized. Obedience is a reflection of our faith. Obedience is simply a reflection of our faith. Can I trust you, God? 1 Samuel 5:22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. The children of Israel, they sacrificed their destiny because they simply didn't obey. How many times do we sacrifice God's best for what we think is our best? 2007, God spoke to Chantel and I, and it wasn't an easy word because he said, I want you to move to South Africa. And that was a real struggle. We were real settled here. In fact, after a couple of years of marriage, Chantel said, I'm just beginning to enjoy Norwich. I don't know how you could enjoy this place from day one. I mean, from California, why wouldn't you enjoy Norwich from day one? And God said to Chantel and to I want you to move down to Cape Town and be part of the team that pioneered Hillsong South Africa. And that was a huge thing. Every fiber in my being wanted to disobey God's voice. We didn't realize that actually God was preparing us to come back. Yeah. God took us away for 6 years and prepared our hearts, prepared our, I don't know what he prepared, but he got us ready. He got us ready to build what we're building now. And sometimes we feel like we're in no man's land, we're in the desert, but God is preparing us as dads, as moms, as children. It's a preparation season. You know, obedience can be as simple as buying someone a coffee. Yeah. You stand it, but I don't know who they are. You don't need to know their name to buy them a coffee. Obedience can be calling someone on the phone. Yeah. If you're thinking about someone this week, call them, because that's obedience. Yeah. Our feelings will always battle against obedience because obedience is costly. Yeah. Sometimes it's humbling. More often than not, it's sacrificial. Dads, it could be taking a risk to set up your own business. Dads, the obedient step could be to join a group. Maybe you're like, I don't need a group. I can do it my way. Hey, join the golf group. Join a group. Be part of it. We need one another. We need community at this time. Dads, don't try and navigate this season alone. I love Joshua's obedience to the voice of God. He could have just looked at the past and looked at Moses and looked at the mess and looked at the problems, but no, he was obedient. He trusted God on his promises. Joshua 1:10, Joshua looks at the situation and everything is against him. And he says this, I love this. He says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people saying, pass through the camp, command the people saying, prepare provisions for yourself for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. Defeatist talk, has turned into battle language. Go in and possess the land for which God is giving you to possess. Here's what happens. He goes from the presence of God and God turns his heart into obedience. And look what happens next. Success. Number one, it begins in his presence. Number two, it begins with obedience. And number three, success, Dad, begins at home. Begins at home. These three principles. As Joshua led the children of Israel out of the desert of the promised land, he let something out. This is what he realizes. He admits, amidst the task and the challenges of his life, he remembers one thing, his family. This is what he says. He says in Joshua 24:15, he says, "But as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord." They were in this together as a family. Joshua understood that having your family beside you is the most important success, and the greatest prosperity that you can have in life is having your family in this together. My dad didn't have much by earthly or natural wealth when he left this earth 10 years ago. But let me tell you, the spiritual wealth that he left my mom and Joy and Chantal and myself is immeasurable, what he left us. Dads, it doesn't matter what you do or you don't leave. And we all want to leave a legacy. I encourage you to do that as much as you can. But the most important legacy you can leave your children is spiritual currency. One of the greatest tragedies of so-called success is often expense of the family. How many times do we see careers flourishing, bank balances booming, and families crumbling? I read Billy Graham's book a few years ago called Nearly Home. It's a beautiful book, and it's the last book that he wrote. He wrote in the final part of the book, he says, "As I look back, I would do many things differently." He said, "I would spend more time with my family." This is a man who spoke to over 1 billion people in his life. Yet he said at the end of his life, "If I could do one thing different, I would spend it with my family." I think COVID-19 has been a wake-up call for all of us. And success begins at home. You know, our only unique role, dads, in life is our family. I'm the only person who could be a dad to my son, Justice, and my daughter, Miracle. I'm the only one who can love Chantel the way I do. I'm the only son to my mom. The reality is, someone else could preach here. Someone else could pastor here. Someone else can run the foundation. Someone else can do all those things, because they're not unique roles. But as a husband and as a dad, they are the only unique roles I have in this world. I think in this season, we've all understood the importance of our loved ones. You can fluke success at uni. You can fluke success sometimes even at work, but you can never fluke success at home. So how do we succeed at home first? I think you begin by creating some family principles for your life, dads. Principles which are unique for your family. Principles which you live by in your marriage and with your children. Here's just a few of our Norman family principles, and please, I don't want you to think that we're any better than you are as dads and mums. That's not what I'm saying. I want you just to capture what I'm saying, because when you have principles, when you have things in your life, they keep you on track. And we don't always get these right, by the way. Hey, we're human. But we've got these principles that we try and live our life by, because I want to be able to say at the end of my life, like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we serve the Lord." We try and celebrate at the end of the day together by having dinner. I think probably one of the greatest things in COVID-19 for us as a family is mealtimes. They're quite entertaining with a 5-year-old and 8-year-old. They say things, I'm like, "Did you just say that?" "No, you can't say that." Parents, you know what I'm talking about. I think family dinner table is a way that we get to celebrate the day together. And if I miss dinner every night of the week, or I'm at the office to help another family or to be at another meeting, it communicates to my family that they are not as important as the other family that I'm with. So those principles are so important for our children. We pray together as we drive into school or drive into work. We made a decision right at the start of our marriage, even before we had children, that birthdays are non-negotiable, so that we wouldn't travel on birthdays, that we would always be there for one another. It was Rick Godwin who said this. He said, in business, what you don't get done today can be done tomorrow. But with family, what doesn't get done today is gone forever. That challenged me as a young leader that actually birthdays are sacred in our family. We make them special. And by the way, making them special doesn't mean spending a lot of money. We tell each other that we love each other daily. We refuse to speak the words divorce or separate in our home. They're immovables. They're principles in our life. Sunday is the Lord's day. Today is God's day. We set it aside. Success, dads, begins on Sundays. Don't have your wife dragging you out the door to church. It says, as for me and my house, not my house and me, we will serve the Lord. As for me, dad, step up. Step up to the plate. You lead your family spiritually. Don't allow anything to separate you from God's house on a Sunday. Don't allow fear. Don't allow football. Don't allow anything to separate you. The most important thing that you can leave your children is a spiritual legacy. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Success begins on Sunday. Sit down with your family over the next few days. Think about some of the principles that you can apply to your life. These are immovables. We're not perfect. Come and live with us, Brittany has. Poor girl, she needs prayer. Before you get married to all the dads-to-be, can I just speak to you for a sec? I know she's really cute, but does she have the same values as you? Is she going in the right direction as you? Because these things will come up at some point. Have some immovables, men. Don't be a movable man where you just move because she moved. You be immovable. These are the things I'm not negotiating on. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Success begins in His presence. Success begins with obedience, and success begins at home. Amen. Can I pray for you right now? Father God, we thank you for the life of Joshua. We thank you, Lord, for the principles that he laid down for success. I know he didn't have youth on his side, and he didn't have the best CV, and he messed up a few times, Father, but you used him. Father, I pray that we would have a greater desire for your presence as dads. We would be able just to step away from the task, step away from the office, step away from so many of those things which grab our time and our attention. And like Joshua, meditate on your word. Not just think about it, but speak it. Confess the promises of God over our children, over our families. We pray, God, when you call us as dads to be obedient. Maybe it's to give something away. Maybe it's to pray for someone. Maybe it's to move. Maybe it's to move countries even. I don't know what it is, Father, but I pray that we would obey you. Obey your voice. And I pray, Lord, that as we talked about family, success, Father God, begins at home. Father, we don't want to be a public success and a private failure. So I pray that you'd give us the disciplines, you'd give us the strength as dads to put these principles in our home. I pray that even couples would sit down over the next few days and write down what their non-negotiables are in their family. They're not laws, they're just ways to live, principles to live by. Help us, Father God. Amen. You know, it was said that Joshua as he was the leader of Israel, that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua's life. Isn't it interesting that when you put those things in place in your life, it keeps you on track. It keeps you positioned. It keeps you moving forward in life. That means everywhere where Joshua went, people were impacted by the glory of God. I want to just read this declaration over you, and I'm going to ask the team behind me to repeat it after me, but also we'll make sure we put it online and you can print this out. But I wrote this today because it's a success declaration for our dads. So why don't we say this out loud together? I know it might be a bit awkward, but just shout it out in your living room. Thank you, Jesus, for your unmerited favor that positions me for good success. Today, Jesus is interested in my success. Because the Lord is with me, I am destined for good success. Success is not what I have, but who I have in my life. Today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This week, I will encounter good success over every area of my life. My success is not in stuff, it's in Jesus. My steps are ordered by the Lord. Because I have your presence with me, I will have good success in everything I do this week. You are with me, and I will succeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, why don't you put your hands together? Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to sing. We're going to praise God. We're going to speak good success over you, over your family, over your business, over your children, over your children's children. Come on, if you believe it, shout amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to pray for one more group of people before we conclude this service. If I could define success into one simple phrase, it would probably be this. Success is not what you have in life, it's who you have. It's who you have. And the most successful person to ever walk this planet was Jesus Christ. And he understood the principle of relationship with his Father and obedience to his Father. And he went to the cross. Today, maybe you feel like you're successful, Dad. Maybe you have a beautiful car and a nice home, and you have all the things which maybe money can buy, but that's all good. But the most important thing that you need in life is Jesus. That's true success. Because you see, Jesus will fill a gap in your life that money can't fill. You see, every time we buy something materially, eventually the happiness wears off. We have that gap again. Jesus can fill the God gap, the missing part of your life. He loves you, friend. To every dad, every mom, every child, every young adult, every student, he loves you. And he wants you to have good success. But it begins by having a relationship with him. True success begins by inviting Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of your life. Maybe you've tried to do life on your own and you've realized it just doesn't work out. It's because true success is found in Jesus. And I would love to pray for you right now. Maybe you once were in relationship with God, but you've kind of fallen away. Maybe even in this season, you've kind of felt disconnected from church and God and relationship and all those things. Right now, you can come back. He loves you. So why don't we say this prayer together? Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he loves me. Thank you that he went to the cross. He died for me. He shed his blood so that I could be forgiven. Right now, come into my heart. Give me a new beginning, a new start from this day forward. Amen. Amen. To everyone who said that prayer, hey, we just want to congratulate you right now. We're going to put our hands together. We're cheering you on from 4 Mason Road, wherever you are in the world, we're cheering you on. But hey, this isn't the end, it's the beginning. So we just got some steps that are going to come up on the screen there, and we'd love you to, first of all, text that number on the screen and let someone know that you've decided, I have decided to follow Jesus. And secondly, please download the Bible app. You can go on your smartphone, just write Bible and type that in and it will come up and download it. And every day, as we've been talking about, success begins in the Bible. The Bible is strength. The Bible is direction. It will give you everything you need for good success. And thirdly, let someone know. Reach out, drop us a comment, drop us an email. Let us know that you made that decision. We'll do everything we can to connect you into a community, whether it's here at Soul Church, or maybe you live in a different part of the world. We can connect you to a local church there. But we are cheering you on today. It is a great, great day for you as you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Come on, come on. All of heaven is rejoicing. Praise God. Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.